Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. And every Monday at 2 o'clock, we're joined by John McClain. He's presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, I couldn't believe it when it happened. I still don't know if I believe it, but the Titans have won a game. And what a weird win it was, but a win is a win. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. They'll win more games, of course, but you'll never see another one like that. I was, when it was 21-6 early in the fourth quarter, I quit paying attention. And then when I looked up and I saw them scoring, then I started watching the highlights and going online and seeing all the crazy plays. And it had enough to last a lifetime. I do not understand it. And I'll say this about DeMarcado. He stood there at his locker and answered every question about being a dumbass. And especially when the week before you had the receiver from Texas doing the same thing that cost the Colts a game. Last year, even a smart guy like Jonathan Taylor did it. And I do not understand, what is it about these players? Is it cool to drop the ball as you're supposedly just in the end zone? I don't know what it is. But it drives coaches crazy. And I watched that highlighter lowlight with Jonathan Gannon, their coach, going ballistic. And it looked like he hit DeMarcado as he was walking away from him to go to the sideline. And that was a great victory for the Titans. Cam Ward showed why they drafted him first overall. Of course, you need more of that. I noticed, I was looking at their starting lineup, and they started six offensive linemen and two tight ends, and I've never seen that before. But they won. That's all that matters. Cam Ward looked good when he needed to look good. They still need to run the ball more with Tony Pollard, even with Spears back. But I'm sure everybody's very happy, except, you know, Brian Callahan's not getting fired this week.
Yeah, no, and I mean, Joe and I talked about that earlier. How much of a reprieve is this? I'm of the belief that I think Amy Adams Strunk would prefer to wait till the end of the year, not to have to pay an interim coach and go through the whole process, because she's already paying two GMs, and then we'll have to pay a head coach not to be here. You know, so I feel like they want to wait as long as they can. But what does this do for a team that isn't very good? And I think they all know they're not very good, but we've seen what a win can do and help be a jumping off point for a season. Do you think that this could be the case for the Titans?
Well, first of all, she doesn't give a rat's ass about money spent on people under contract. She's proved that by paying so many people, just like here. They're still paying people, and they have so much money. Most teams, that doesn't figure into, but I think obviously, if you're going to fire a coach, it's better late in the year so you can get a head start. Put your interim in there. Hope you keep losing so you'll get a higher draft pick. Sometime, worst thing that can happen is for the interim coach to win a couple of games, then all the players want to keep the interim coach, mainly because they think it protects them selfishly. But I think a game like this, when Brian Callahan's telling the Titans now, look, you know, we're down 15 points. It's the fourth quarter. We've proved we can overcome this obstacle. That helps for situations where you're in trouble. And whether you do it or not remains to be seen. But at least you got an example. Players ought to be more fired up to come to work for a week because they won a game. And they did it in a fashion in which nobody gave them a chance. Cardinals did every nincompoop thing you could possibly do. How often do you see the quarterback get a concussion on a snap? And I don't know that he's got a concussion, but it scared the hell out of him. You saw him jump. And then the touchdown by Lockett is just like – and then the DeMarcado touchdown. That one's going to haunt the Cardinals. I didn't have the Cardinals any good. I saw one guy – national guy was bragging early in the season because he picked the Cardinals to win a division. He ain't bragging now.
No,
not at all. John McClain's on the Chase and Big Joe show. John, you look at it yesterday. Half the callers on the show today and our reaction has been, well, the Cardinals handed them the game. John, I'm more the positive thing. Look, the Titans still had to go down and score three times, and they did. They scored 16 points in the fourth quarter to get it done. Is that something you could take away, the fact that this team had to go get it done, had the opportunities, and took advantage of it, as a huge positive for this football team?
Absolutely it is, Joe, because people that try to play it down, when somebody gives you something, you still have to take advantage of it. You know, Lockett jumped on that ball in the end zone. He had all these Cardinals around him. That wasn't given to him. He had to go in there and earn it after they had fumbled. And I think Snead chasing down DeMarcado like that. And he recognized, I think, what had happened when the ball went out of the end zone. And the Murray fumble, but I thought they did a terrific job of taking advantage of what the Cardinals gave them. And the Cardinals are going to lose sleep over that. And that could sound the death knell for Jonathan Gannon, because last year they won 8 games, and people thought they were going to be improved. To me, 8 games is enough for the Cardinals. They're usually mediocre to bad, and it could end up costing them a job when you are a defensive specialist and your offense and your defense blow it, especially against a rookie quarterback who hits a 47-yard pass and then the tight end over the middle. I was happy for Cam Ward.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that, John. Now that that is done, now he's got his win, can he relax a little bit now? There's no questions this week about, when are you going to get your first win? He can take a deep breath. How much can this win help the development of Cam Ward mentally, not physically, but mentally?
It can help him a lot. You always want to get the first one, because you hear last week, boy, the Titans screwed up. They should have taken Jackson Dart. Now Jackson doesn't look so good after those interceptions, and they get pounded in New Orleans. And it's a relief for him. And I don't think he's going to let up, because that's his intensity level is always going to be at the boiling point, because he's a competitor and wants to do as much as he can. I would think, and I'm guessing he won't admit it, it's a sense of relief to get the first one under your belt.
Yeah, and that another question we had today about, you know, the hot seat. You always remember the hot seat. And I think, you know, I want to get your opinion on this too, John. I mean, did it cool a little bit for Brian Callahan? Because now you got that win, but now you got to go out and do it again on Sunday. I get that. But there's not going to be so many questions a week like, oh, is this the week you get let go? Because you got the win, so it's got to feel good a little bit, I think.
It's like he was in front of the firing squad and the cigarette went out, so he's going to get some more time. And if they win another game, I think if a game like this, that with nobody talking about his job, and then even if they lose the next one, it's how do they lose the next one? I thought that Amy Adams Strunk would fire Callahan after the 26-point loss here. Now, say they go to the Raiders, and the Raiders are awful. They're 1-4-2. They've been just getting hammered. If the Titans beat them, that's great. What if the Raiders beat them 26-0, something like that? Then it's going to be a feeding frenzy again. But, you know, that game is winnable. Geno Smith has been awful. He started off well. Now he's an interception machine. This is a chance for the Titans, who won the turnover battle, to win it again in a place that the Raiders don't usually. Titans ought to have a bunch of fans at that game, because all visitors do, because everybody wants to go to Vegas. It's Las Vegas and it's Los Angeles, and then it's Nashville, about where all the fans want to go. So you hope they have a contingent there and the Titans win a second game.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe show, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. John, you know, one win doesn't fix everything, as we all know, but it, obviously people feel good today. To me, though, I still think the Titans need to field phone calls as the trade deadline approaches. If they get something that they think is going to help them in the future, I think they need to take it. Now, you put three wins together, okay, maybe that's going to change the conversation a little bit. But would you agree with that?
Well, first of all, you're not going to get anything that's going to help you this year.
Right.
This team needs too much talent. If they wanted to have a fire sale, you know, what would they get for people? Jeffrey Simmons would be their biggest bargaining chip. And if they want to do that, but, you know, they're not going to challenge for the Super Bowl next year either. And I don't know if you do it now, you do it then. If you do it at the trade deadline, it's kind of like you're throwing in the towel. But the fact is, if you're not good and you're not going anywhere and you have some assets can bolster you for the future, pull the trigger.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, to look around the league a little bit, Vrabel, that's a big win last night up there for Buffalo, in Buffalo for New England. Just the job he's doing, the way he's rallied that. But I will tell you, John, we had Tim Hasselbeck on a few weeks ago. He said, Vrabel's got something in New England. He's got a quarterback. And that speaks volumes how well they're doing now.
Well, everybody's known Drake May's a good quarterback. He had a good rookie season, just like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and all those guys last season. And they had more money under the salary cap in the offseason than any team in the league. And those were reasons he wanted to take that job. And they're still going to have a lot of salary cap room. And I'm still stunned that they won that game last night. I thought sure they were going to lose it at the end. Now they'll have a chance to sweep the Bills. I can't imagine they would, but Mike Vrabel's a good coach. He's got his quarterback. And, you know, there's some weird stories off the field, like that thing that was broken today in North Carolina. They won't let the Patriots tweet anything on the Patriots. Belichick has decreed, which means they can't tweet anything
right
about Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback. And you should be publicizing that like crazy. So quarterbacks, come to North Carolina. You can be Drake May. Now, the Patriots are going to be 4-2 because they go to New Orleans, unless they have a big letdown against the Saints, like the Giants seem to after their first victory. And then the other big story, of course, was Mark Sanchez. And I'm right, guessing he's going to get fired. Have y'all seen the pictures of the guy he beat up?
I have not. Are they bad?
I tweeted those twice. His family took him in the hospital and released him to a local TV station. He beat the hell out of that 69-year-old guy who was doing his job, parked right where he was supposed to be parking, doing what he wanted to do. And now those charges have been upgraded to a felony. And whoever conducted the press conference, I think it was the police chief, he said, you come to our city and you do bodily harm to one of our residents, you're going to pay.
Well, good.
And so Sanchez, those pictures, there's a warning about how graphic they are. He looks like he got beat up by multiple people.
Ah, just terrible. John, tonight the Jacksonville Jaguars play the Chiefs. Jags looking good at 3-1. If they can get this job done, then now they're 4-1, John. Are you buying the Jags if they win tonight?
Joe, if they win this game, I'm buying the Jags. I'm picking the Chiefs. I never pick against the Chiefs unless they're on the road, like at Buffalo or Baltimore when they're doing well. But this is a great chance for the Jaguars to show they're for real. Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen. It's the first time I've been interested in the Jacksonville game in 3 years.
John, I know the Cowboys played the Jets, but considering CeeDee Lamb's out, they got some injuries on the offensive line. What do you think about Dallas to this point and Dak Prescott?
They're running the ball great. Javonte Williams is running, giving, taking so much pressure off Prescott. He's playing great. As we've talked about before, the last five times he's played all or most of the season, they've been in the playoffs. So the key is to keep him healthy. But the Jets are awful. They're 0-5 right now. They're the worst team in the NFL, and it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. And but good for Dak. Hopefully he'll stay healthy, and the Cowboys will continue to do well enough to compete for wild card berth.
Is the AFC North, I guess, you know, I know Pittsburgh's 3-1, but are they bad enough right now that Baltimore shouldn't be worried about their current position, or are the injuries going to be too much for them to overcome?
Everybody's worried about their current position because they're all starting backup quarterbacks other than Pittsburgh. You know, the Bengals just keep getting worse. And everybody made a big deal yesterday. The Ravens had four starters on defense out, defensive lineman, linebacker, and two DBs. They gave up 44 to the Texans. And I don't care who you are, where you play, you score 44 in the NFL, and that's good. And it looked like they didn't want to play, and they quit. And their offense, of course, was missing three starters, including Lamar Jackson. And the Texans totally shut down Derrick Henry. He had like 22 yards on 15 carries. And after the way he badgered the Texans all those years with the Titans, his last four games against the D'Amico Ryan's defense, he had done squat. So without Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry's facing 8 man fronts, but Jackson's going to be back. After they lose to the Rams, I think it's the Rams, and then they'll be have a week off, and maybe some of those guys can come back. And I think if Lamar Jackson comes back, and he was healthy, even when he's healthy, the defense couldn't stop anybody. So until they do something on their defense, you know, they're just spinning their wheels. But the division right now is so bad, I think if Lamar comes back and he's healthy, they're going to score a lot of points. If the defense even makes a few improvements, they could still have a chance to win that division after their terrible start.
Well, and you brought up the Bengals. I mean, this Browning thing isn't working, but I don't know what they do. I mean, do you call Atlanta and just see what you can work out for Kirk Cousins, or are you just kind of grit and bear it until you get Burrow back?
I think you grin and bear it. You're not going to be drafting a quarterback in the offseason. If you want Kirk Cousins, it's going to cost you more than you want to give up. You know, Browning had a winning record going in. I don't know if it's the other players. He has no running game whatsoever, and the score is misleading because they were beaten up a whole lot more than the score indicates. And that's like most of them. If you can't keep your quarterback healthy, you are in big trouble, and that's the best example. It has to scare them how much Joe Burrow has been hurt since going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. John, I didn't see it live, but I watched the YouTube clip of it. It's like 15-minute reel of the Seattle Seahawks-Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. And let me tell you what, I'm a big NFL historian like you are. That reminded me of a game we would see in the 70s or the 80s. A lot of hitting, a lot of scoring. You don't know who's going to win. It was just a fun game to watch. Tampa wins the game, though. But my goodness, John, the uniforms, the way the play was, the game overall, that was a beautiful football game in Seattle on Sunday afternoon.
I heard somebody today saying Dak Prescott should be MVP. No, Baker Mayfield should be MVP. Four victories, all in the last minute. Their loss in the last minute. They've been fantastic. Everybody loves those creamsicle uniforms, and they hated them when the Buccaneers wore them originally because right. They were terrible, and they equated the uniforms with losing. Now, of course, the uniforms are equated with winning. And Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, two former backup teammates together at Carolina under Matt Rhule, they both were outstanding, and you won't see many high-scoring games better than that. Texans have lost by one to the Buccaneers on a Mayfield touchdown with 6 seconds left. Touchdown led drive with 6 seconds left. And after the bye week, they go to Seattle for a Monday night game. And Darnold torched them for four touchdown passes last year when he was in Minnesota. And I wonder right now if the Vikings wish they had re-signed Sam Darnold.
Well, not only that, I was going to ask about the Vikings. I mean, do you think the guys like being overseas for 2 weeks like the Vikings do? Because, look, I get it's fun for a week, but it's like, you know, you're not home. You're not, you know, everything you need in Minnesota, you don't have in Europe, all this stuff. It's just, to me, it's a hassle. Do you think guys enjoy the 2 weeks they spend over there?
They like it a lot better when they came home with a victory over the Browns. If they had lost that game and they had to make that trip back, it would have been different. I know wives love to go there. They love those trips.
Right.
I guess the kids get to go too. And they take great care of you. I've been over there for a game, and boy, they take you have everything you want over there, not to mention one of the greatest cities in the world and 85,000 coming to your game. And I think if they had not wanted to be over there for 2 weeks, they would not have been.
John, going to be an interesting week for sure. At least we're talking about a win. Appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joins us each Monday at 2. Brought to you by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. Coming up next, Brian Callahan is scheduled to speak to the media. We will do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.